From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's December 18th, 2025. On today's show, high winds across the inland northwest yesterday morning left more than 100,000 residents without electricity during their peak. Though repairs are ongoing, thousands still don't have power. Plus, Central Washington's long-serving Republican Representative Dan Newhouse will not be seeking another term in Congress. And as enhanced healthcare premium subsidies come closer to expiring, James Dawson brings us the story of one Idaho industry whose employees will likely be hit hard. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. More than 100,000 Inland Northwest residents went without power during the peak of yesterday's wind damage, and plenty still don't have electricity. But it's possible the damage could have been worse. John DeLuciano is Vice President of Energy Delivery for Avista. He said yesterday the wildfire hardening efforts the utility implemented over the past few years have mitigated some wind damage, too.
So we're clearing back more trees further away from our lines so they don't get into the wind as much, and then our grid hardening effort. On the transmission system, we've been changing out our wood poles to steel structures so they're more resilient to the wind. So over the last 3 or 5 years, we've been making more investment on hardening than we ever have before, and we see that.
North Idaho residents on the east side of Lake Coeur d'Alene will likely see the longest power outages. Kootenai Electric Cooperative says its members should expect up to a few days without power. And Northern Lights says some customers in North Idaho and western Montana may see lengthy outages as the utility replaces broken power line poles. Yesterday's winds changed plans for lots of people across the inland northwest. Kids in North Idaho got a day off when schools canceled classes, and people all over the region cleaned up debris in their yards and neighborhoods. On Spokane's South Hill, a large tree fell into the street near 22nd and Bernard and interrupted power in the neighborhood. As she stood outside, Carly Votolato said the timing of the storm wasn't great.
I have a U-Haul parked out in front of my place, and I'm currently getting ready to leave for my move down to San Diego, California.
Her neighbor, Sue Frankovich, wasn't sure when the power would return, so she was getting ready for an extended outage.
I have fired up my generator that I bought after the 2015 windstorm that brought all these other trees down. So, and I have fired up the wood stove in my basement that I have had since 2015.
Frankovich says she didn't think yesterday's windstorm was as severe as the one that hit in 2015. As of 6 o'clock this morning, Avista reports about 575 outages around the region, with about 21,000 residents affected. Northern Light says about 3,500 of its customers don't have power, with 130 outages in its service area of North Idaho and western Montana. 2,800 Kootenai Electric Cooperative customers are still in the dark, and Inland Power reports more than 600 customers without electricity. Given damage to homes across the state from winds, storms, and flooding, Washington officials are warning residents to guard against contractor scams. The Department of Labor and Industry says it has a tool property owners can consult to verify whether a contractor is registered and has liability insurance and a business license. L&I officials also recommend checking whether a contractor has posted a bond, which provides some financial protection if things go wrong. You can find those verification tools at protectmyhome.net. Washington state leaders say a Trump administration order that forces an aging power plant to keep burning coal is absurd. The Department of Energy issued an emergency order to keep a plant in Centralia open. The Westside site is the state's largest source of climate-harming pollution. Lauren McCloy advocates for clean energy with the Northwest Energy Coalition.
The closure of this plant has been a given for over a decade, and keeping it running beyond its useful and economic life is not going to help. This kind of federal overreach is incredibly unproductive.
Back in 2011, the state legislature required the site to stop burning coal by the end of this month. The Trump administration claims the move is needed to prevent blackouts this winter. North America's power grid regulators say the Northwest has enough electricity for the season, though the region might have to import power from neighboring areas if extreme winter weather hits. The emergency order lasts for 90 days, though it can be renewed. The Trump administration has forced a coal plant in Michigan to stay open for 9 months by issuing 3 emergency orders in a row. Washington state's longest-serving congressional Republican is retiring next year. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more.
U.S. Representative Dan Newhouse represents Yakima, the Tri-Cities, and Central Washington in Congress. In a statement, he said he's been, quote, truly humbled by this uniquely American journey that took a farm boy from Sunnyside, Washington, clear across the country. Newhouse is one of only two remaining Republicans in the U.S. House who voted to impeach Donald Trump in 2021. Trump has repeatedly endorsed Newhouse's challengers, but never managed to unseat Newhouse. Last month, a man from Tukwila pled guilty to making violent death threats against the congressman. A spokesperson for Newhouse did not respond to a question about whether that had anything to do with his decision. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
The Idaho State Board of Education yesterday signed off on an initial plan to start a new medical school partnership. The collaboration between the University of Idaho and the University of Utah would operate in the Treasure Valley. But these are just the first steps. Final approval and funding would need to go through the state legislature. U of I says it will spend $600,000 over the next 2 years to help develop curricula and cover other administrative costs while lawmakers debate the issue. Sunny Wallace is U of I's chief of staff.
Just doing so allows both the working group and the legislature to see that tangible, incremental steps are in place that could ultimately lead to a full definitive master agreement with the University of Utah.
The move is one potential solution floated by a group of legislators to solve Idaho's worst-in-the-nation physician shortage. The working group is expected to finalize its recommendations to expand medical education in the state later this week. Federal health insurance subsidies expire at the end of December as lawmakers debate their replacement. As James Dawson tells us, one Idaho industry in particular is poised to get hit hard if nothing is done.
Idaho's outfitters and guides help people explore the state's wild rivers or track down a trophy elk. But these small businesses rarely offer their employees health insurance, according to Eric Weiseth, who heads the Idaho Outfitters and Guides Association. Subsidies through Obamacare have helped get workers coverage in recent years, but Weiseth says a majority of his members have reported they'd likely disenroll if nothing is done to offset substantial premium increases.
So what our expectation is that, you know, an industry that already has twice the state average of uninsured is probably going to get worse.
The association has spoken with Idaho's congressional delegation, urging them to find some kind of solution to the problem before federal subsidies expire come January. James Dawson, Boise State Public Radio News.
SPR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Eliza Billingham, Doug Nedvornik, John Ryan, Scott Greenstone, James Dawson, and me, Owen Henderson. I'm also the host and producer. Thanks for listening. It's SPR.